chase the sun and get crazy, have some fun. Hello and welcome to the Dad Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Worsham. With me today, the fantastic ladies of Why Mommy Drinks. We have Amanda and Betsy. They are here. They are in the heat.
Hey! Hello.
They are so excited. All right. Quiet, lady.
Amanda, stop murdering that girl.
That's what
Put
I do.
Put down the knife and let's do this show.
That was not my intention, but I do like the idea of starting this off like, well, what's up, ladies? Let's do a podcast.
Oh, good for you. Oh,
it's going to be so much fun. We're going to... Yeah.
From now on, you will speak only when spoken to.
Uh-oh, sounds like trouble. We are in a lot of trouble.
This is very morning zoo. I did not anticipate
I'm about to whip somebody's ass.
I'm sorry. It's been a while since I've used this.
I want that song. I just want to put it on my phone.
Isn't it great?
I'm about to whip somebody's ass.
Yeah,
it would be fun to play through the Bluetooth in the minivan. You know what I mean? When you're getting that limit.
During a tantrum, you just start playing that song on your phone like a ringer.
I'm
about to whip somebody's ass.
You never seen one of these?
Shut up!
It looks like a cash register married a fart machine.
Oh. That's exactly what it is. What Betsy is referring to is my instant replay that I got from our very own Chris Booker. Oh, that didn't work. I'm supposed to say, hey, Booker. But I moved that around, evidently, that file. So this is what I have all of my drops.
Oh. All right, all right, all right.
That's our butcher, Drew. You can listen to my wife.
Asshole.
Yeah.
Oh, she's over it. I'm going to put my dick in it.
That's my wife right there.
Oh.
She does voices too, ladies.
What a lady.
She is. She's a big lady. Anyway.
What? Don't say that.
Did I already step
my
in?
My wife. She's big.
She's so
really fits through a door.
Big bones. Big bones. I don't even think you can say
big
that,
broad.
Right?
Big, no.
She's a big gal.
Can you say, here's something I ran into in my younger years where I found out, and this is another thing I have also learned, I cannot compliment any woman. When you're the guy who's always at the after school pickup, and now most of my friends are women, you can't really, and you guys know, when you kibitz, you talk about, I feel oh my God, I'm bloated, I'm blah-de-blah, you know? And I have a natural inclination to say, listen, you look great.
You look
Trust
great.
Me.
I would have so much sex with you.
Right.
Are we allowed to say sex on
yes,
this show?
Yes, you could say fuck. You, I want to have so much sex. Fucking with you, you could
Are
say.
Are we allowed to say the sex?
The sex. But no, is there a way, maybe we'll start off with this. Is there a way that a man can compliment another lady in a platonic way without it seeming super creepy?
Oh, I don't know.
Right?
I mean...
Well, here's the thing, too, because you might turn that chick into a cuckoo. Like, what if she's like, oh, he likes me. Oh. And then all of a sudden it's like,
okay.
Like a desperate housewife type
but have,
thing.
But here's the thing. Wives always say this in regards to, like, my wife has said this about me. And I think we all could agree. My wife is the only one who's going to find me attractive. That's why I married her.
Aww.
All right? I'm pretty sure all of your husbands
Wait,
feel that way.
Your wife told you that? She's like, I'm the only one that will ever find you attractive?
No.
Don't
no,
even try.
Yes.
Don't even try.
I've asked around.
You are heinous.
You.
Ooh, you're so
you
ugly.
You better never leave me or cheat on me.
And then she walks out of the room. She's like, check.
Safe.
Mission accomplished. That should keep him around for another month or two.
Go in there and cry.
No, it's the exact. It's
just chipping away at his self-esteem. So that he can do my bidding.
It's the exact opposite. It's the, she thought when I was out on the road doing stand-up that it was nothing but women trying to bang me left and right.
Of course.
And not.
Because women love stand-ups.
Right.
They do.
Don't laugh
women
at me like
love
that.
Funny.
This
it's
is taking
true.
A turn. Don't, and it, your tone doesn't help either, Betsy. It's true. You can't go high pitch.
It's true.
Don't condescend to me.
I'm a woman.
In my own
voice.
Dojo, on my own show. Don't patronize me. I'm outnumbered here. I just now realized this.
No, all right. So she thought when you were there.
She thought, and it wasn't.
You were
here's
banging
what would
around.
Happen. Here's what would happen. I would have a mid-40s handsy soccer mom who had had a few too many Mai Tais.
Sure.
That's about it. You know what I mean?
Like the school
You're
dance.
Funny. You're funny. My husband's so uptight.
Yeah, my husband.
You wouldn't even come to me this comedy show. I had to come by myself. I ate so many jalapeno poppers by myself. I'm so full. Why don't you empty me?
What?
What?
Ma'am, what?
It's like so you were there, full. Betsy. It's
Why
like...
don't you empty me?
Look, what is that's that? What I say to my husband when I want to do
that's
it.
That's your pillow talk?
Yeah,
that's
yeah, yeah.
Talk. I'm so full. Why don't you empty me?
Get over here and empty me.
I'm so full.
I think it's supposed to be. I don't know. I have... I've
I'm
seen
so
it a,
empty.
Yeah, I think you're supposed to get full. I think it's what it is. I think it's not the other...
She's just so drunk.
Can you she displace whatever's in me? I need a void in my soul.
And I filled it full of jalapeno poppers, so I don't need your dick.
Wait, what?
Oh, my God. You guys are a shit ton of fun. I'm already crying. What, how are we? We're 6 minutes in.
But and wait, I'm, we were talking about how you feel like so, you're pretty.
That you can't compliment
you need,
women.
You need a,
I don't want to talk about it anymore.
I mean, generally it can be like really iffy when you're a man making a comment about the way a woman looks.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Generally, leave it be.
Yeah.
Right. Because... Here's part of my problem is, and I used to have about 10, 15 minutes about it in my stand-up, is that I think women are far too hard on themselves, especially,
oh,
and
yeah.
my wife went through it with the insecurity of how bodies change after you have children,
big
right?
time.
Yep.
And I am trying to get on a pulpit and say, listen, it's not as bad as you think.
Listen,
it's bad.
Ladies, listen, I'd fuck y'all.
I would fuck all of you.
No, I'm not even saying me.
I don't care what you look like. I would fuck all of you.
That's not it. See how hard it is to navigate? See how hard it is? The landmines you just throw out there? We can't even say that you're smoking hot. You know what I mean? Like, because I, and this is what I throw out there. If you don't believe me, just, and I, here's, maybe you guys can help me understand this too. I throw out a challenge to all of the mom listeners of this show, which, by the way, has also reached a majority. I don't know how that happened.
Hey, ladies.
We had a show for dads, cool. And now all of, now it's like 67% women in the house.
Interesting.
Wow.
So anyway, I say, just do a stroll by. Not a streak. You know what I mean? Just a stroll by.
Just walk by. You're like, looking good.
Naked. Yeah. Yeah. I'm just saying. Do a naked walk by.
Yeah.
Your man and watch. Now, here's the thing.
Oh, if I see.
On the first attempt, if you don't get the reaction you are so craving, you have to understand that it's because we have been trained to control that monkey part of our brain. Okay. So he's going to want to zero in on the television. All right. So you're the first one, you're not going to look for like the cartoon. Tuna Wooga eyes. You're gonna look for just a little tick. You know what I mean? Just a little twitch of the iris.
That's so this is
in
how
this scenario.
Okay.
I'm naked.
Yeah.
I'm walking around the living room.
Right.
While my husband's watching TV.
Right.
And I'm gonna see if he gets a boner. Is that
no,
what's happening?
No.
What's happening?
No. His eyes. Just see. Okay. Watch his eyes, or try to have a conversation with him. And watch him try to not be able to focus. Now, the reason I bring this up is...
Oh, my gosh, wait. So I can do this if I want to buy a house. I could just be like, so let's talk about that house.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, big time.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. I'm not kidding. This is where I'm throwing every...
Did you see that dog I sent you?
Yeah.
I like... You cannot buy a dog.
By the way...
Just stand there naked and be like...
Yes, you could.
I think we should get a dog.
I'm going to say what I would say to a dog. Leave it. Leave it.
No.
Put it down.
No.
Let go.
He would cave. He would cave big time.
Okay, yeah. Let's go buy a house and a dog.
And then he'd want to empty you out.
And then he would empty me out.
I want to get rid of all them jalapeno poppers, Amanda. You just wait.
What?
Now, in this scenario, you tell me, ladies, you tell me in this scenario, wouldn't that be kind of a stroke to the ego? Is if that if you can, if your man sees your naked form and is thrown off balance,
oh,
loses
yeah.
focus.
Yeah, yeah,
right?
That's good.
Yeah.
Right. So that's why I throw it out there. And that's why I obviously don't suggest this.
I mean, when I go to school pickup and I'm naked, people look at me. Uh-huh. I feel good.
It's empowering, yeah. Right? Like Tyra Banks in a fat suit.
Yes.
It's brave.
It's exactly the same thing.
It's so brave.
Yeah, it's so brave.
What you do is so brave, Amanda.
Yeah.
It's so brave.
Yeah. Right. Then I end up in jail for a couple days, and I get free meals. It's
right.
Good.
It's good.
Exposing myself to children. It was just other dads and moms.
I was just trying to feel better about myself.
The kids didn't even have a chance to get there.
Sorry. Patriarchy. Not letting me get naked.
I did it because of Cosmopolitan magazine. Here's the other thing I wanted to talk about before I got distracted by that. poor choice of words, my bad. which, by the way, my new safe word in the bedroom is going to be jalapeno poppers. That's what I decided after this conversation.
Every time we go to a restaurant, we're going to look at that and be like, yeah. Oh, boy.
What if I have a Pavlovian response now to that? Yeah. Jalapeno poppers.
Where you
we got to go.
Down, somebody's like, I want to get the jalapeno poppers. It's like, oh, no,
nope,
no, no,
gotta
no,
go.
No, no,
Jake,
no, no.
Jake, please! we had a little bit of a situation. We had a big, so my sons are way into football, okay? And I think I might have kind of discussed this with you guys on your show, if memory serves. I don't know. There was a lot happening on and off. But anyway, so we go out to the Rams practice. We live in Los Angeles, so we're fortunate enough to have a local NFL team. And so I thought, my kids are way into football. I was kind of into football as a kid. My dad was not interested in sports at all, but my dad was a great dad still. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to take the kids to a practice. Maybe they'll get a kick out of just watching the guys there. And if they get bored, who cares? We won't come. They loved it.
Ah.
My son wants to be a quarterback, so he was like, I want to get Jared Goff's autograph because he got chosen to get, like, they do a really cool thing. They do autograph tokens. They give out 60 of them each practice. And it's only for kids under 14. So it's not like the 37-year-old who's trying to build an eBay marketplace. Yeah. It's just for young kids.
Yeah.
But they get kind of weird about it where you can only sign one item.
Oh.
My son wanted to have Jared Goff sign like a mini helmet and all the quarterbacks. But because it was tight ends and quarterbacks, the young 22-year-old ladies who are interning there would only allow him. He had to choose either a hat or the helmet for everybody. You can't switch items in the middle of the stream. My wife tried to take a picture in the middle of it, and the lady like stood in the way, and she goes, could you just step aside? She goes, no pictures. There's no post. She goes, no, I just want to take up because they don't want you to slow down the line.
Oh.
So my wife did the, she goes, there's no pictures. And my wife did the, you know what? Fuck you.
Oh, yes.
She said that?
Yes.
Oh, boy.
She's awesome.
She did it. Now, it wasn't like, hey, fuck you. It wasn't that.
Oh, okay,
that. It was like, you know, fuck you. Like, it was that. So it was me, and then, like, the two other moms on either side of her heard it. And I had.
Lady hear it?
No, I don't think so.
Good.
I hope not. Because here's the thing. I had a visceral response to, like, not, I was going to say backhand. And that's not what's, nope. Walk that back. Walk that back. Both of you walk that back. I had a visceral response to, like, tap her with my fingertips on the, I just said, like, hey, like, kind of get a hold of yourself.
You're attacking the lady.
Right. Because these kids have this awesome experience. They're getting to meet these players and everything.
And you don't want to get kicked out.
Right.
Yeah.
And my thought process is these are just 22-year-olds who have been given a directive. Yes. They don't make decisions.
Yeah.
And so now after this is over, there's a thing where they, because it's kids' day, they let you go on the field and you could throw the football around. The kids could run and play on the practice field. And you had to wait till the players and coaches had left the field. And some of the players were hanging around, so they gave us only half. They have two football fields side by side, so they let us hang out on one of them. Well, there were players there signing autographs and playing with kids. It was unbelievably cool.
That's awesome.
It's like swimming with dolphins.
Yes, yes.
And, not the Miami Dolphins.
Right, only without the aftertaste.
It's like climbing up.
And the letter from PETA, I think.
Like
where the
yeah.
So my son sees like Johnny Hecker, who's the punter. They got Todd Gurley, who's a star running back. I don't know that you guys are big football fans, but just bear with me because I'm getting to it. They got, this is what I love about how into it they are, the special teams coach, John Fossil, who was the interim head coach at the end of the year after they fired our head coach last year, and they saw him on Hard Knocks. They love this guy. He's a very fun character. My son goes up to get his autograph. The guy was nice enough to give him his autograph. And he says, my mom wants to take a picture with you, which my wife did not ask for.
That's
my wife had just expressed that he was her favorite coach when we were watching Hard Knocks on HBO. And so, and it was funny to watch my 8-year-old go, my mom wants to take a picture with you.
That's so great.
Unprovoked. And then my wife to get like red. No, it's okay. Like, it was a cute moment. So all of this magic is happening is what I'm saying here. They got all of the autographs that they could ever have wanted, all of their favorite players, right? Except for my younger son, who's 6, Alec Ogletree, who is the middle linebacker, defensive star, you know, second to maybe Aaron Donald, our defensive lineman all-star. But he's there, but he's like with his family, and everybody's kind of like looking, and then he walks over and starts signing autographs. So this is my son's chance. My 6-year-old son and my older son go stand there, and they're very polite. They're just looking at the guys waiting their turn, and the guys are just signing, and they're not going in order because there's a lot of people. It's hard for them to be aware. Older kids start kind of cramming around, and so I just kind of announce, I'm kind of hanging back because it's all supposed to be for kids, and I go, hey, guys, watch out for the little guy. Watch out for the little guy. And there was a dad who was there with his older kids, and he said, he's safe. I see him or whatever. So I said, okay, great. And I thought because that dad was a little closer that he would also tell his kids to, like,
yeah,
because he was there first. Well, all these other kids push away, and then there's a lady who comes and says, hey, Ogletree's got to go to a meeting, guys. Mm. He's got to leave. We got to get out of here. And my older son pulls his brother in, gets his signed, and thinks his brother's next. So he runs out to show his mom. He's, look at this, look at why it's so cool.
Aww. Oh, so he left
the little one there, and the little one was just polite. Just sitting there, just with a smile on his face, just holding his thing up, just sweet eyes, got his pen in one hand and his hat in the other. They go through signing, and he goes, oh, he's got to go. So we go, and so Jack, my younger son, turns around, and he's just crestfallen. He goes to, buries his head in mom's lap, and she hugs him. And I go, hey, buddy, it's all right. It's all right. Well, then Ogletree is still signing. And then my wife is like, well, I wouldn't have told him to come here, you know. And so we go, okay, go. And so this time his older brother takes his brother, takes him with him, and then takes his hat and right next to him and holds it up higher because he's taller. And other kids are still kind of pushing and everything. And then Ogletree has to leave. And Jack was literally the last one who did not get his little hat signed.
No.
Right. So here's what I want to put out to the table to talk about as much fun as we can. My wife was livid. And I think rightfully so, because this is an example of you doing the right thing, the just thing, and not having things go your way. I was angry and frustrated, don't get me wrong, but I saw this as, most of the time when I see things like this, I hate it because it makes me feel like I'm a corporate middle manager where it's like, you know, failure is an opportunity to learn.
Yeah,
But in a lot of ways, I think it is that this moment of frustration or whatever, I thought was a great way for him to learn to deal with those kinds of things.
Because, I'm in agreement with you.
Right. In real life, there are a lot of disappointments, and it's much more important to learn to deal with those disappointments than it is to have things go your way.
Yes.
For me personally, I don't know how you guys feel about it, but I feel like I remember coming out of the great struggles in my life, even when I was younger and even today, than I do. I don't even remember the things that just happen. You don't appreciate them as much. But my poor wife, I mean, it stuck with her.
Yeah.
I mean, we're in the car. He passed out. The kid was kind of over it at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And we're in the car, and she is, like, just moved to tears. Like, mm-hmm. she doesn't want him to see. And I'm like, you okay? She goes, it's just not right. It's not right that, you know, he did the right thing, and you do the right thing, and you get stepped on. Mm-hmm. And that's everywhere.
Yeah, it's hard.
Right?
Yeah, it's really hard. It's hard to watch. Like, I have a kid who always kind of does the right thing, and he makes the right choices. And even with his sisters, like, he gets stepped on. Mm-hmm. And we keep trying to instill this, like, treat people the way you want to be treated.
Yes.
Like, think about how you affect other people and, you know, like, and look for the people. Like, we just, these bigger concepts. And he really strives to do that. And sometimes he doesn't get the signature. He doesn't get the extra candy. Meanwhile, my girls are like when we go to Chuck E. Cheese and stuff, the girls would go up to the prize wall, charm the crap out of the, like, 16-year-old kid, and they get free candy the whole time we're there.
Well, that's so just being female.
They come over, and they're like, look, look,
it's walking around naked. As we're
yeah, so they walk around naked, and they give them Tootsie Rolls, and they're like,
speeding,
jalapeno poppers. So they do that, and then Wes will be like, I earned this many tokens to get that. You know what I mean? And so it's like to watch the difference between the two. It's a tough thing. I would be crushed too, but I also have this whole thing where, I think it's unhealthy. We've talked about it on our show a little bit. Like, I struggle with trying to give my kids everything, everything in the world, you know? And so there's like this line where you have to stop and say, they're not going to always get everything. And if they always do get everything, then they're not going to know what to do when they don't get everything.
Oh yeah. I think what you're describing is what it is to be a mom.
Yeah.
That's what moms want.
Yeah.
I can't think of a single mom who doesn't want that.
Do you say that because you are, and I'm not trying to say, like, you know, like, whatever the equivalent to gender roles in parenting would be to racism, like, whatever that term would be, but do you say that as, like, that's a mom thing because you're a mom and you're saying that, or do you think it's not a dad thing?
Oh, I don't know.
I'm not attacking. I'm curious.
Yeah, like, no, I don't know if it's a dad thing, but I think biologically there's something about being a mom that you're like, I got to get the best for them. I got to get everything for them. I want everything.
There's an emotional intelligence there that's probably a little different, I think, because we also just, females tend to have, not always.
Yeah.
Females tend to have more of like an emotional response to things, and men tend to have, females and males, they tend to have more of like a physical response to things, right? And so that's why a lot of times there's a nice balance there.
I think men are able, not always, but I think dads have the ability to be a little bit more emotionally distanced and be able to think more objectively about things.
Probably why in that moment, rather than being, you know, moved to tears and having this like intense reaction, I was like, yeah, it sucks and it's a bummer, but we're going to, this is going to be good.
But I'm in agreement with you. Like, they had a great day. They had a bunch of extraordinary experiences. There's one bad thing. Like, I think it's a great lesson to be able to take that and be like, don't let that color your whole experience. It was one little thing. Move past it.
Well, to my wife's credit, after we kind of talked about it on the car ride back, is that she even said, I told her, I said, it's not that big a deal. He's over it. And she said, you know what? I didn't think of. She goes, I'm always harping on them to appreciate what they have. And yet here I am not being appreciative of the experience that they had. Yeah. I'm dwelling on this one thing that they didn't get. And she said, that's not the message that, you know, that I want to send.
Yes.
Right? It's hard though. I was raised that way to be like, be nice, wait your turn, do the right thing. Mm-hmm. And it's hard when you see people left and right pushing and getting their
cutting
way.
In line or,
and you see that as adults. You know,
I see
as an adult,
cut me
I'm
in
like,
line,
well,
I'm
fuck
like,
it.
What? Are you kidding me? I'm sitting here. Well,
and then you roll over.
Yeah.
And they get in line first. What is the lesson here?
I don't know if it's because I need to be more confrontational, but my wife is very quick with the fuck you, lot quicker than I am.
Where's she from?
She's from Northern California.
Oh. Like,
so not East Coast at all.
I did not anticipate that.
That's an East Coast response, usually.
Mm-hmm. She,
I am always the one. Like, Caton is very calm, and then I'll be like, oh, fucking shithead. And he's like, no! You're going to ruin this for us all.
What was the thing you called other drivers? A shit monkey or
a fucking monkey.
That's right. because I have my favorite story about this is when my older son was 18 months old. They were in the Costco. They went into a Costco. I had stopped off at the Lowe's and I had looked at something and I was like, all right. And I remember walking into Costco going, how am I going to find my wife and child? And as soon as I had that thought, I heard my wife's voice go, you know what? Fuck you. And I go, oh, there she is. And I come walking around.
You're like penguins. That was your little song. And then you knew to recognize each other.
Here's her song.
He found his mate.
There's my little songbird.
Her mating call was the fuck you.
Yeah.
The emperor redneck okey white trash. And what it was is that there was a guy at a Verizon tent in Costco.
Oh, and he was bothering her.
He was, my son, we're not big on the bubble wrap. Like we don't say stand right next to me or anything like that, but we keep an eye. And so he was obviously, he's only 18 months old. So my wife was looking at him, but just he was 5-6 feet away. And so he goes, oh, hey, little boy. And then he kind of was looking around. She goes, I got him. And the guy goes, oh, well, you might want to be careful because, you know, there's a lot of people. He goes, he's okay. And that was my wife's warning shot. Uh-huh. And he goes, well, it's just that, you know, he's kind of far away. And then she gave a second warning shot and said, I got him. And just held her hand up like that. And
she
the guy
held her hand up physically. Yeah,
she goes, she
like,
just said, I got him.
I'm telling you to stop.
And like made eye contact.
I'm making a stop sign with my hand.
Yes. I got him.
Quit.
And then he said he got out of well. And she goes, you know what? Fuck you.
Yes.
I love her.
She went from 30 to 80.
Well, to be fair, she gave him two warnings. She said.
No, dude. I get it. That's totally how I would be too. But enough. Why don't you focus on selling your phones? Get out of here.
And my favorite part about this is the kind of what we were talking about already is the idea and stereotype, which I do think is true, but that females are better at communicating. Like, we can walk through a situation, smash good. You know, fuck you. All right, which I do think was a perfect way to handle it.
I'm in Minnesota, so my response would have been something very passive aggressive.
Oh, I want to know how. Let's do that when we come back. Let's talk about how Minnesotans handle confrontation. All right, we are back again with Amanda and Betsy from Why Mommy Drinks. We're talking about confrontation, parenting, and you brought up, Betsy, that Minnesotans handle things. Is it polite or is it passive-aggressive?
It's both.
Is it very Canadian?
Yeah.
Because you're
Canadians
close?
Are very, I think, similar to Minnesotans in a lot of ways. Yeah.
Did you grow up in Minnesota?
Yeah, I grew up in Minnesota.
And how long ago did you move to California?
Well, I spent 16 years in New York City.
Oh.
And then I've been here for about 4 years.
So that probably knocked all that Minnesotan out of you, I would imagine.
You would think. I mean, it did to some degree. But I think there's something about, like, the farther away you get from where you come from, maybe the more, sort of more you become what you,
yeah.
I don't know.
Just when
what
you thought you were out, they pulled you back in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Deep inside, the Minnesotan in me was like, you're Minnesotan. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like the older I get, the more Minnesotan I get.
Yeah.
So how would a Minnesotan handle telling someone who was, and I don't know if you guys ever deal with this, is the people who randomly will come up to you and tell you how to parent your kid?
Right.
Whether they're a parent or not? Like, how is there a Minnesotan way that is different?
Yeah, I think a Minnesotan, I mean, I can't speak for all Minnesotans.
Yes,
maybe
you can.
Anyone listening is from. But you would probably just smile and be like, okay, thanks. Thank you.
So
okay,
your
thanks.
Your smile, which if we can't see
it's
your
aggressive.
Face, but yes, it is. And your smile is beautiful around the mouth, right? The eyebrows are up, you know, saying, oh, I'm so friendly. But when you look into the opened eyes, the eyes being wider gives intensity.
Yep, that's the Minnesotan way.
Thanks.
I'm murdering you with my eyes, but I'm smiling.
Do you guys, this makes me think of another thing that happened actually 2 days ago. Do you guys do family game night in your house?
We try. We should. Like, my kids love board games. It's hard because they we should try harder.
We're not there yet.
Yeah, you're young. You still.
I have a 6-year-old and then twin 4-year-old girls, and it would be not a good time.
Right.
Yeah. Because not a lot that the 5-year-old can do at my house either. Like, maybe Uno, maybe Connect Four.
That's the game we were playing. But here's what I think happens with the family game night is that we have, in this current generation of parenting, I don't think that any of our parents, is the way it was, is that would look at anything and go, like, this is just what we did. They never seemed to analyze what was going on.
They weren't like, let's have a family game night.
Right.
No.
They never felt. My dad did do a thing when I was a teenager because I was out working and then I was also hanging out with friends and I was away a lot. He made a rule that 4 nights a week I had to have dinner at the house.
That's
I could
great.
Pick those nights and he was willing to be flexible, but the majority of the week I was sitting with the family having dinner and that was his way of keeping me anchored, I think.
Yeah,
was the idea.
I think that's great.
But we never had organized activity. We would go to the lake. We had a annual, but no night of the week that was, you know, we're going to sit around and play Sorry. Yay. We weren't those. We weren't Minnesotan. Why are your eyes so big?
In Florida, we play cans.
What?
You just throw cans.
No.
We throw cans at a gator.
You know what I like about that, though? What I like about that was the comedy background in me goes, this tastes like a bit. but it's so spot on, and I'm kind of ignorant about what really Florida is. It's so confusing to me.
We just shoot each other.
Right? Because it seems like, you know, Jewish retirement home meets trailer park. That's Florida seems to me.
It's very similar.
And then there's also that Miami, like Cuban.
Miami is different.
Latin
it's like
influence.
Its own thing.
Everybody says it's its own country.
It's its own country.
Right.
And then, depending on where you're at in Florida, it changes. So the farther north you go.
Which is your area or no?
I'm from Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
Yep. Strip club and lightning capital of the world.
Lightning capital? Yeah.
Strip club.
Yeah. Lots of strip clubs. All the nakedness.
I'm like, lightning capital? And you're like strip clubs?
They're two different people.
But we're roommates and we get along.
Coming next fall, a fantastic web series with podcasters, Justin.
It's a whole web series about podcasters.
I want to talk to you about your web series.
She's a polite Midwesterner.
Who's obsessed with lightning.
He's a hillbilly redneck with all his teeth, but loves a good strip club.
They get an apartment in Tampa Bay.
He believes glitter is an exfoliant. the only strip club experience I have is from Mons Venus, which is from
Tampa.
That's
a totally nude, famous. It's totally nude.
It is famous.
Vaginas in your face. In your face.
And
nasty.
I am the worst. You know what's great about this is this started off with me throwing out the topic of family game night. But I am the worst guy to take to it. I hate this because
why do you
it sounds
like
manufactured.
Them?
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't. And I hate it because it makes it sound manufactured like I'm not a real guy.
But no, it's not. No.
Here's, you know what I like? I'll be 100% honest. I'm a big fan of boobs. I like butts. I like vajayjays. I'm all over it. But there is something about it being there where it's not
it's
wanting
a job.
To be. Right?
Yeah, when someone's selling it to you, literally.
I don't want it to be. I like my vagina to be transactional in a marital sense.
I kind of laugh.
You see what I mean?
Once.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I will offer this up to you in exchange for you and I working together to get through life.
Yeah, that seems. I know my husband.
You put the
really
kids to bed. What was it?
It?
You put the kids to bed and made me a cocktail.
Yeah.
Therefore, I will let you empty me of jalapeno poppers. Oh.
So you got a lap dance?
Oh,
once
I got a lap dance once. Yeah. And I think it was at Mons, possibly. It was the nudie place where they're all nude.
Yes.
And my friend bought it for me, and I sat there like the little kid in The Shining. I was like, oh. And the stripper was like, can you just relax, please? Because I made her uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Right.
And
were
I was
you
like,
married
this...
with kids or anything? Or just.
Oh, no.
Like, 20s and having fun.
I think I might have been married or close to being married.
Like engaged somewhere in there.
Yeah, my friend and her at the time, I think they were boyfriend and girlfriend. They were in town and they were like, let's go to the strip club. And I was drunk, so I was like, okay. And I was riding with them. And I went and I was like, like I appreciate burlesque dancing.
Yeah.
I think it's great. I think it's an art form and it's really interesting. And I support people.
I always just thought of.
What, burlesque, like strip?
I just thought of it as like, we're stripping, but I went to college and I've got tattoos.
Yes.
But I like seeing what they do with it. Like, I don't know. I find it good and interesting.
Because it can be
Jumbo's,
funny.
Jumbo's Clown Room. They
I've never
have
been
that,
there.
They have it there. And I go and I'm like, wow, this is hot. And then I'm also like, but I love that you don't actually see anybody naked. And and they do like routines and dances
but
to it. And
here's why I think you like it, is that the difference between burlesque and a strip show is the audience.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The audience, like, I think if I was in a room with a bunch of guys who are more like-minded with me at a strip show, it would feel like a burlesque show without the pasties. You know what I mean? Like, it would, even though girls, because the part that skeeved me out was that there were skeevy guys.
Skeevy guys.
That I was just
it's
like.
It's really scary. Dude. Like, they're scary guys. Like, they're the ones that are like. Ugh.
And what's funny.
And none of them are like, this is like vaudeville.
Yeah.
Hair like Betty Page. I appreciate that. Yeah.
I would enjoy her as a pinup on my battleship.
on the side of my fighter jet.
They took Keaton to a strip club for his bachelor party, and everybody was like, are you just so worried? And I was like, no, dude, I know who I'm marrying. He's worried about them. Like, he's the kind of guy that goes in and is like, oh, what happened to you?
Oh, so he's like me.
Yes. That's how my husband is. He gets very wrapped up in what has happened
what has
to
happened
the past
to you.
Of these women. Yeah.
Oh, that makes me feel so much better.
You're not alone.
Oh, my God.
Alone.
It makes me feel... You
so
know,
like, go have a great time.
I am not making this up. This makes me feel, because what was happening to me was we were sitting right next to the stage, and the guys there thought it was funny. I had money on me, but I was like, they were throwing piles of dollar bills in front of me, so the girls were coming, and they were like shaking, and I was like, oh, and they were doing the thing where you give them a dollar, and you run your finger down their cleavage, and then they grab the dollar with their boobs. And I'm not kidding.
I mean, I didn't know that was a thing, but I'm not surprised.
Right. I'm not kidding. I'm using the full length of a $5 bill. Just thank you. Okay. Thank you. Thank you, please. Thank you. Like, just, please, because I'm breaking out in a flop sweat here.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that they were like, oh, they brought their gay friend, and he's just, he hates the female form.
Like, oh, God.
But it was very uncomfortable. But the other thing I learned was there was one guy there who was just having a good time, and he went to go get a lap dance, but he didn't do the lap dance. He danced like they were in a club with the girl while she was buck naked. And she was having the time of her life. So much so that it was free. Like, she didn't charge him at the end.
She was just so happy that she didn't have to grind all up on it.
Yeah, she didn't have to jerk him off with her,
Yeah, and so, well, here's the thing. From looking at it from the outside, I don't even know if that was an element of it. I think it was just that it was fun.
But I'm also thinking, the guy's like, you're naked. Let's do some dancing. I don't know.
It's weird, right?
Is this a friend of yours?
Wake me up before you go.
He was the one. He was the no. He was a Marine who had been all over the world, and he said, "We're in Tampa. We have to go to Mons Venus." And I said, "What is Mons Venus?" He said, "It is the best strip club in the world."
Yeah.
Wow.
And I said, "He goes, so you have to go." And I said, "Tampa." Well, I go, I've never been to a strip club, so I guess I should go.
And that was your first one that you threw.
Well, and what's funny
is vaginas. I don't know. For me, seeing women totally naked dancing like that, I was like, I can't. Like, it just felt,
it
I wanted
weird.
To get out. I was like, I need to get out. I don't need to see that in you.
Yeah.
I don't need to see that. And you shouldn't have to show that.
Yeah.
But the jalapeno poppers were delicious.
Oh, God.
I was so full.
Oh, God.
But here's to get back to the family game night.
Sorry.
No, don't apologize ever. This is fun. It's been a while there's very few people that I have on this show that I feel like I could just have a conversation with. So please don't ever apologize. But here's the idea is that this is why I think family game nights never work. It's because we create them as like some kind of Norman Rockwell like painting thing where we want them to be magical.
Yeah.
And then what happens is the kids just be kids and they shit on the magical fun by arguing over who gets to go first and all the stupid stuff.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And it makes it
crying
more of a...
because they didn't win.
Right. And it makes it everything... We try to find these little miniature family-oriented distractions from parenting. This is the way I process it.
Yes.
I wanted to play a little game of Uno with my family because I wanted us just to hang out and have me not have every minute be about parenting them.
Yes.
Right? That's what I was shooting for.
You're a good parent. That's good.
And,
that's true.
And, but then what happens is that there's just more opportunities to parent where now I'm teaching lessons about how it doesn't matter if you win. In this particular game, though, we played Uno because it is my wife's favorite game. And
that's
your
wife's favorite
right?
game to play with children or of all time?
No, all time. She loves
Uno's good.
And I think what it is that
I like Moncala better. But
what's Moncala?
The
marbles.
Marbles.
No. Yeah,
marbles.
It is. Okay. Yeah.
Like flat marbles. Yeah.
She is not into Uno or Moncala.
Yeah, what's your favorite game? What do you play in Minnesota? Just ice fishing? Is that what?
Yeah.
Yeah, we just go.
Yeah, we're just nice. We just take turns being nice to each other.
Yeah,
you get points.
More that Midwestern passive aggression.
Yes,
I can taste it now.
Did you hear the accent immediately? Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we just start being nice to each other.
There's a game called Ticket to Ride that my kids really like. We love it.
How does that work?
It's a little hard for the 5-year-old. Ticket to Ride. So there's like... each one of you is sort of like a railroad baron, and you pick a card, and the card tells you that you need to make a railroad from, the whole thing is a map of United States, so you have to make a railroad from, let's say, D.C. to Los Angeles, and you have, like, certain cards, and you use them to build a railroad.
Like, you have to acquire resources and all that stuff? Kind of like Settlers of Catan?
No, it's, like, way simple.
Oh.
You just, like, get a card, so, like, different cards have different colors, essentially, and if you get enough enough red ones, you can turn those in and be like, oh, here's three red cards. I get to put three red trains here.
Oh.
And then, like, I get to put, you know, two more red trains here. And then eventually you'll have a big red railroad. And you're like, I did it. I won that card. And then you just try to, like, get as many railroads as you can. And it's actually really, it sounds dumb. It's actually really fun. Yeah. And everyone loves it.
But see, that's, here's the thing. I think what Family Game Night is intended to be is that you do, it, the activity itself doesn't matter. That's irrelevant. The real point is obviously, I'm saying it like I'm pointing something out that's really clever, but it's not obviously, is that you're just getting together and hanging. Like, that's really what it's all about.
But then everyone, like, bumps into the thing and all the pieces
move. What if you took Xanax before family
or, like,
game
an edible?
Night, right? And so then you're just like, cool, kids, you're doing a great job. Way to go. Just, you know, right now, just fight. And then when you figure out who goes first, we'll play. You know, like, the whole time you're just, like, totally, like
half of a weed gummy. And then you'd be good.
You know what? You know one of the many reasons why I love you, too? Is that the name of your show is Why Mommy Drinks.
Yeah.
And so of course, when you, like, I'm just thinking, yeah, I'll have some tequila when I have
the. Well, that's a
but
good
you guys,
idea.
Like, cook it to a whole new level. Like, you went full-blown
tequila
narcotic.
Tequila would make you angry.
Tequila, right?
Right? I'd be like, oh, fucking hell.
Who wants to fight? Who wants to fight? Who wants to fight?
Yeah.
Get the fuck away from my railroad.
Yep.
Mons Venus in Tampa's just opening. I wish I was there. You guys don't know how to party.
Whereas if it was like half of a weed gummy, you'd be like, whatever, guys. This is fun. Just the experience of sitting at a
look,
table with
we're
you.
We're all together. We're all family.
Yeah,
who wants to make s'mores on the stove?
Does anybody want to pet my hair?
Well, in this particular game, my son... My older son likes to, he loves the game. He likes to figure out the strategy. So Uno's not a lot of strategy, really. So, but he still liked it because he could get it. And but the younger one, he loves to just fuck with whatever's going on. So if the name of the game is to get rid of all the cards in your hand, he wants to gather as many cards as possible. Like, that's because... It drives his older brother insane. Like, he's just like, why are you doing? And what was fun for me to watch is that there was a little part of it that was driving my wife nuts, too, because she loved Uno. And he wasn't understanding the love of the game.
Respect the game.
And he's too small to hold his cards in his hands like you would in poker. So they're just fanned out, all like scattered all over the table. And so whatever his turn was, if, for anybody who's not familiar, if you can't play a card, you draw from the draw pile and then you lose your turn unless that card you pick up is the same color or number of what is you're trying to match, right? And he just found so much fun with it. Okay, Jack, your turn. He'd go, and he'd look at all his cards, look at what's there, and goes, skip, and he would pick up a card and just add it to the pile. He had like, probably at one point, he had 3 to 5 wild draw fours
that he was just
sitting on, and his brother is like, you can make Dad draw four! He's about to win! Like, he's everybody.
He's like, he knows that he's the ultimate winner.
Right.
Because
he controls the game.
Yeah. I feel like when he is like 26, I just want to drop him in the middle of the Middle East and just have him stir things up to where it hits critical mass. And that's how we solve the problem. Like, he's just gonna stir it up. He's just gonna mix it up in there. And so there was this point where we're trying to talk him through. My wife has Uno. And so it's coming, I'm after him, and then she goes next, right? She had just, I think, changed the color to green, and there was a green card out there. My younger son had a ton of greens. I will never forget. It's a green 4 that's there, and he also had a blue 4. And she goes, you could play a green, or you could play that 4. You could change the color to blue if you want.
Her card is blue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so he goes, oh, and this is the kid who the entire game is like, skip. And he just picks a card. This time he goes, oh, okay. And he plays what his mom asked him to. And I shot her a look. And she goes, what? I said, that is low. You disgust me. She goes, what? I said, you're using your child.
Yeah.
To manipulate a game of Uno.
That's her son.
And she goes, I am not. Like, she gets indignant. She digs her heels in like a politician. No, that is not what I was doing. And I said, if you don't play a green card between now and the end of this game, I will see what is in your hand. All right? And she just gives me that. You could see, like, I'm a detective and we're in the interrogation room. There's that little bit in her eyes that goes, oh, fuck. So, sure enough, it goes two more rounds. She never played a green card. The card she wins was a blue four.
Yes.
And I was like, you are a horrible person. A horrible person.
Yep.
What goes wrong in your childhood that you have to use a six-year-old to win a game of Uno?
No, she was just like the six-year-old.
Don't take her side, Amanda.
She was just like the six-year-old. She figured out a way to control the game. They're the same.
That is her offspring?
Yes. I think with motherhood, there's so much losing at every turn.
Like, I'm going
to just got to get it where you can
get it. I'm going to win this game. And you know what? I'm going to use him and his thing to win my thing.
I never get to listen to the music I want to listen to. I don't get to do the things I want to do. So I'm going to win this fucking game against this kid who's ruining my life at every turn.
You know, I want to know what's wrong with me because I agree with that. But there's a part of it that I think my wife is a great mom, and I'm not saying she's not invested, but I do think there is a difference, and I guess you guys would agree. There is a difference between primary caregiver, parent, and parent who works 40 hours a week.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And so she, weirdly enough, gets to listen to whatever music she wants to because she likes pop music, and so therefore the kids have liked it. She's always playing it in the...
And she likes Uno? Wow.
Right.
How old is your wife?
That's irrelevant. I don't know why you would ask. I don't know why. I'm pretty sure that's... You don't ask a lady that. I'm pretty sure you don't. I'm surprised.
That's a question.
They don't teach you that in Minnesota, that you don't ask a lady her age? I wait until she graduated high school to marry her. That's all you need to know, all right? that would be really funny. I got to dig into that now. I got to think about... What if it is just my wife's mentality? Like, what, what if she is just slightly immature? But
or she's 20.
And if she is the...
Mac and cheese for dinner again. Oh, boy.
Kraft's my favorite. I got to talk about that, too. But what I was going to say was, let's take a break. And then I want to talk about this with you guys because I think that'll be fun. Okay, now we are back with Amanda and Betsy from Why Mommy Drinks. Here's what I wanted to throw out to you guys. Are you guys also the cooks in your household?
My husband is a better cook, but he's not home ever.
Right.
So on the weekends, he'll make dinner and stuff. But yeah, I'm the person who has to make the meals.
How
generally.
Say you, Amanda?
Yeah, I make the meals, although sometimes I give up and...
I love the honesty.
And Caden will come home and cook for the two of us. That's usually when I'm like
nice.
in a comatose state, and I'm like, he'll be like, "Did you make dinner for yourself?" And I'll be like, "No."
So you'll cook for the kids,
yeah. I
and then he'll come home and make something.
Because if you have fish sticks one more time,
I can't
off your.
So I want, like, real food.
Yeah.
Here's I'm just gonna throw this out there because I have made like macaroni and cheese from scratch. For
kids
my kids.
Don't like that.
I know.
Yeah.
I know now, Betsy. I know. But I didn't.
What
then.
Is this? It's not the lion.
You know what I
macaroni?
Hate about. Here's one thing I hate about moms, too, by the way, is that when like I made a casserole or something that was all filled with like cheese and hamburger, everything that pasta, everything that is delicious to a child's palate.
Things that kids like all mixed together.
Right.
You'd think they would like
right.
it.
Right. And, and then a mom's like, kids hate casseroles. Mm-hmm. You can't make a casserole or whatever.
Mix shit together.
Nope. They won't eat it. They won't eat it.
But meanwhile, when my son dips his apple in sour cream, I'm just supposed to be totally normal. That's fine. That's totally fine.
At least he's dipping it. My kid will take sour cream and just eat it off his hand. He just shovels it in. It's the worst.
So here's what I decided to make recently was, I wonder if I could pull up the recipe on my phone. I decided, I was like, you know, I'm gonna make some fish. I like fish. The kids have, you know, occasionally eaten it, right? Okay, so I was... Stop laughing, Betsy. We haven't even gotten there, all right? Don't
I mean,
get
we
ahead.
Did. We did. You said, I'm going to make
Brandino.
Fish.
You should.
Oh, that's so fun. I saw a great episode of The Chew, and I'm making fish. So here's what I made. Seared mahi-mahi. With zesty basil butter.
Oh,
all right.
Wow.
All right.
Wow.
Now,
I mean, I want to eat that.
I
exactly.
know.
Exactly. Yeah. It is. I will give you guys the recipe because it is delicious. So I plate it.
Yep.
I put it on there. Kids take one bite of it. They're like, this is amazing.
Oh.
Right. Now, a normal person would be like, oh, that's great. The kids like to eat stuff that I also like to eat. I was livid. I was so angry because I had spent years of my life trying to feed these shit whistles something that they would like, only to have them turn their nose up. But of course, when I make seared ahi mahi-mahi with zesty basil butter, they're like, more of this, please.
And you're like, I only made two pieces. I thought you would have
yes!
eat it.
Yes! And mahi-mahi, when you buy the fillets, are small enough. And so that's the thing. That's it. But sometimes I make barbecue chicken, and they'll turn their nose up at that even.
It has black on it.
Oh, God. I'll kill them. I will kill them dead. And so then, what was the other? So I made, where is it? A lemon parmesan cod with garlic butter. Devoured it. I was so angry.
This is amazing.
And so, and my wife is like, look, they like it, honey. And I go, no, they won't. Because here's the only way this works out. The next time I make, you know, with zesty basil butter mahi-mahi.
And you make a ton of it.
Right. Then they don't like it.
Yeah, I don't
then
like it's that. Like,
no, mm-hmm. we had this 3 weeks ago or whatever it is that they'll
say.
We
did it that one time. We're not doing it again.
Mm-hmm. And then I keep pushing the envelope. So the last thing we had in a series of three nights
so
in a row.
So you are the cook in your house.
I am the cook. I am the captain now. I made chili lime cod fillets with a lime butter. That is, it is good. I will
so
give you all
like
these recipes.
Upping the ante.
Right. And the chili lime.
You're like, I'm eventually going to make it so that you don't want to eat my fucking food.
And then I can be like, see.
Well, and Jack, who's my younger son, he doesn't really like, my wife, he doesn't like sauce. So whenever I made like spaghetti, he's the one who has to have the noodles and the butter with Parmesan cheese, right? So... Mm-hmm. But he ate all of these.
This is our new au pair, Pierre. He's a saucier. No! Jack, calm down. No! Sorry, anyway.
Somebody sent me, we were just, Amanda just told me about this great thing. Of, if you Google wife coyote picture, there's a lady who plays a great joke on her husband and says that she found a coyote in their back field and brings it in like it's going to be their new pet dog. And the guy is losing his mind going, it's a fucking coyote. Well, there's another one that somebody sent me. Of a kid providing Yelp reviews, like a parent wrote a Yelp review from the perspective of their kid, where they're like, another patron punched me in the face for no reason. So I, of course, went over and hit him in the head with a book, and the food was okay. The staff is constantly yelling at me, just eat, just eat. So that's a fun read, but I do look at that like he's turning down his nose at these things. When I put the butter sauce on top of his fish, he devours that sauce, right? But of course, I found my limit with the six-year-old with the chili lime cod fillets and the zesty lime butter that came with it. He would not touch that, but the other one devoured it, just threw it down.
Because it was spicy?
Yeah, he says it's too spicy.
Yeah,
but
everything's too spicy.
I tasted it.
We have French fries we've bought that are too spicy.
Yeah, is that like a go-to?
It just had salt on it. Right. Like, this is spicy.
Not even seasoned salt. We're not even talking about
seasoned salt.
Okay, we see. Here's what it is then, though. It's the red. Not that you should know this. I'm not saying, why are you being so irrational? No, trust me. They are irrational. They are crazy. Yeah, don't give me Minnesota eyes. No, they are crazy. But if they see anything with a red hue to it, then they're like, well, this is clearly spicy. It's like an Amazon tree frog. I can't eat this. It's brightly colored.
It's a spicy frog.
That's how nature tells you to back off.
Nature tells me these potatoes are no bueno because they've got seasoned salt on them.
Nature speaks to me in Spanish.
No bueno. Hola.
Luckily, this time it was something I understood.
But now it's not so bad. It reached a culmination when I was doing the morning show and going to bed at like 7 o'clock. Most of the time it was 8:30. Waking up at 2:33 in the morning and going to work for 8 hours.
That sounds horrible.
That's when it was bad because my wife would come home at 6 o'clock. So that meant I was still the guy cooking dinner, but I had to cook dinner on more like 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock parental energy, even though it was 4 or 5 in the early eve. And so there was lots of times where I so irrational, but I would sit there and go, you know what, you make dinner.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
How about we do that? You make dinner from now on.
Like, oh, that's me all the time.
Yelling at an 8 and a 6 year old.
You know what my grandmother used to do?
Oh, I'm sorry. Maybe we should eat the dinner you made. Oh, you didn't make dinner?
Well, my kids would be like, we will make dinner and we're going to eat popsicles and pirate's booty. My grandmother used to do, my Nana, she would do a... I made this dinner. If you don't like it, you can have a bowl of cereal.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it. You don't eat what we eat, then you get a bowl of cereal.
My six-year-old would be psyched. He'd eat cereal for 3 meals a day.
Are we talking Wheaties or are we talking Lucky Charms, though?
She probably didn't. She probably had... She's a depression child. So yeah, she probably had grape nuts.
You never tested this theory of cereal.
No, sometimes I do. If I'm very frustrated and I made a dinner and they're all being jerks.
No, I'm saying as a child. You never found out the cereal option is what it sounds like.
No, because I didn't want to make her feel like I didn't do to her what my kids do to me. But to my mother. My mother would like cook everything with onions, but she didn't offer a cereal. She would just say, pick them out and deal. Like, pick them out. Or she would lie. She'd be like, there's no onions, and I'm not making anything with onions. And then you eat it, and you're like, they're raw onions, raw red onions. There's no getting over that. And she was like, well, then you make it.
I'd play like Nazi war criminal mind games with my kids where they'll be like, they don't like onions, and I'll sneak onions into things, and then I'll let them eat it, and they'll go, the onions in there! Jokes on you!
I got you! Yeah, that's what she would do the same. You know, that's onion soup you're eating.
Go fuck yourself!
You like that cheese?
No, Colonel Clink! Stop letting Colonel Clink make dinner! Yep. Yep.
No one in our house liked them, though. My dad didn't like them. My brother didn't like them. I didn't like
Nobody
them.
Liked onions?
What? My mom can eat them raw. She eats them raw.
Oh, my grandfather did
so
that.
So she eats black
beans.
Like
an apple.
Yes,
does she
like an
have
apple.
Horrible allergies? Can she not smell and taste?
I know. I don't know. The whole house smelled like an onion when she
I love onions,
eat.
But that's a bit
Hop
much.
Hop John, I think she calls it, or something like that. Yeah.
You know what I never understood about my grandfather eating onions like an apple is that how you could do that and not cry?
Yeah.
Like, how does that not burn?
Yeah, I don't know. It disgusts me.
Do you like onions today?
I cook with onions. So cooked onions in food, I think they're great.
Right.
They add a lot of flavor. It doesn't bother me at all. It's the crunchy raw onions that I can't take.
I think that's normal.
I still can't.
Yeah, that's just...
I can't. If somebody puts raw red onions on stuff, I'm like, no, I'm not
like a burger or something, you're out.
Ugh. I can get it off if I get it off quick. But like guacamole...
You kind of sounded like a kid there for a little bit.
Yeah.
If I get it off quick, it's fine. It's a 5-second okay. rule.
But if it stays on longer, everything tastes like red onions and I can't eat it. It's spicy.
Red onions.
Red onions are the Amazon tree frog of the onions, ladies.
Yeah.
We've
known. Fuck them. Fuck those spicy little bitches. No.
What have you ever, like, what you said you've done, like, is there a moment that stands out where you've lost it over a meal time? Like,
all
the time.
Are you kidding?
I'm like, because that does make me feel a lot better too, because felt
mealtime, dinner's the worst.
Oh my gosh.
Because I hate lunch too, though, because I'm like, oh God, I gotta fucking make it lunch.
Bedtime.
Yeah, meal time. All the time.
All the time.
All the time.
It is funny. Like, here's the thing. I know that we're joking, but I'm gonna be 100% honest is that when I hear you guys making the joke, meal time, lunch time, like daytime,
like, awake time.
It is a very funny thing to observe about parenting is that there is one sweet spot. And it is right after they go to sleep.
100%.
That's it. Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah. So
martini time and TV time.
How is it that the human being species has survived this long? Why isn't that spread to everybody?
Because they all beat their kids up until now.
That's true. Do you really think that we have to be the most frustrated, at least. Not for a good reason. You know what I mean? I'm not saying that. Well, no, here's what I'm saying. I'm saying that it's not like we've reached a level of enlightenment and therefore that's why we're frustrated. But I do think that this has to be the most frustrating time to be a parent. Right?
Because we're in the information age.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And everything is at stake at every given moment. There is always, it feels like a looming pressure to nail it or crush it at every turn.
Agreed.
And yet it's impossible.
Yeah.
There's no way.
Yeah. I had shingles last week, and I still had to take care of my kids. And, like, I just put the television on and kept renting movies and sleeping all day. And the whole time I had this, like, oh, no, like, I'm not taking care of my children.
Yeah, I have shingles, but I'm riddled with guilt.
I couldn't move. And so all I could do is, like, think about the guilt.
Yeah.
And aren't shingles brought on by stress, too?
Yes.
Yeah. Like, so it's like... Yeah.
It's just like I'm getting stressed out by the stress.
It's like a snake eating itself constantly.
Ridiculous.
So I had to remind myself. I was like, and the only way you're going to get better is if you, like, stop.
Just...
Yeah, because there's... Yeah.
Would be the consequence of just deciding, like a pastor can absolve you of your sins, right? What would be the consequence of the three of us in this studio right here just deciding that we are going to absolve ourselves of any guilt moving forward? That anytime you feel it, we're just going to be like, nope, I don't believe in that anymore.
The Pope of parenting has absolved me.
Right, right. And I'm not saying I'm that person. I'm just saying what, just again, hypothetical, what would be the realistic consequence of that? If you walked out of here today and you made a meal and then your kids were like, I don't like it, it's spicy. And you said, you know what, screw you, eat whatever you want, whatever it is, however you handle
that. You can have some
cereal. Yeah. And then go to sleep and sleep like a baby, not sitting there going, are they okay? Or
they didn't have any vegetables today.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
What would be the realistic consequence? Do you think you would all of a sudden
They haven't had any vegetables all week.
All week long, they've only eaten food that was light brown and beige.
Light brown and beige.
That would be amazing. I would be so free.
Yeah, I would feel good.
Yeah.
But do you, here's the, there has to be a catch to it, right? And the only thing I could think of is that if you ever look at anybody with no ambition, no motivation, no drive, then they just kind of move through, oh, guilty, hands
guilty,
raising,
guilty.
Oh, hands are popping up. But here's the thing. I, first of all, strongly disagree with that. But is it that anxiety and fear that drives us? Or, because I feel like it's a hindrance. That's my take on it, even in my own self. Like, when I lay awake at night, I am currently at this point in my life going, I need to stop doing this because my kids are great. And
right.
And it's okay for me to be fine with them.
You know what? It's like, okay, so yesterday I had to go to the dermatologist to look at the shingles. And I had to bring the kids because I didn't have a sitter.
Oh, always fun.
Yeah. You know, and so they came in and they, like, immediately start laying down on the chairs in the waiting room, and there's like this nice little old man there, and he was like, hello, and Wesley like rolled his eyes because he's like, oh god, stranger talking. And then Benny was like, hi, nice to meet you, because that's who she is. And then Emmeline just hit her head because she like she's very shy. And so he's like, you guys look like good kids. Are you having a good day or a bad day? And they were like, we're having a good day. And like I stopped and I made a joke. I was like, you never know, or something like that. And then he was like, you look like good kids. So then we sat there for a little bit, and they called me in. And right when we were leaving, he's like, you know, you have good kids. And I had that moment where I was like, oh, yeah, you know what? I do. I like them. Because we get so caught up in how hard it is that you have to take those times to be like, but I'm raising nice
and
people
all the things that
I like.
Don't do.
I like these people. And I like that they're all three very different people, and that the old man thought they were nice.
It made you feel proud.
I'm going to hold that. But that's the thing, is that you're doing all this work and usually it doesn't get seen. Instead, I always get looked at as like a train wreck or a cautionary tale. Like, oh, look at her and all those kids. They're crazy. They don't shower.
They don't shower. Like, that's a character judgment. But it's so true. It's so something that goes through. Because I've had conversations. I always feel bad whenever it breaks my way. I would much rather be someone who looks at me and goes, oh, well, I'm doing better than that guy. I would much rather be that, might be my purpose in life. But and it's not like it happens.
That's essentially
all
what our podcast is.
Me too.
Right.
But a couple of times I've had it especially at the preschool, because I'm such a colossal a-hole to my kids. Like, so like they're 8 and 6, and for at least the last 2 years, they get up and they dress themselves. Like that's what they do,
that's
right?
I'm working on this year.
So that's the thing, is that
it's always a fight.
I was talking to another dad, and it always hurts more for me when it's another dad who's like, he said, I don't know why he wears those socks or something. And then the dad kind of like jokingly goes, well, didn't you put them on him or whatever? I go, no, he dresses himself. That's the outfit that he picks. Like, and I'm also not the kind of person, the older one weirdly figured out on his own how to match clothes. Like,
yeah.
I'm not a fashion icon. I don't know why I chose that word.
I mean, I would say you are.
Hey, guys.
Yeah, we all thought you were.
I like your phone matches your t-shirt.
Prepare. I have a Rams phone cover and a Rams t-shirt. That is why that is brilliant and funny. Hold on, let me take a sip of coffee from my Rams cup.
Is that Naomi Campbell? I just saw a fashion icon.
So
is
brave.
That Diane Van Von First?
So brave. So brave.
But the older one figured out how to match clothes, and this guy was like, I said, no, he dressed himself. And he was like, really? They dressed themselves? And
but
I go,
don't they look insane?
No.
My kids look insane when they dress themselves, and I'm fine with it.
Yeah, me too.
I'm like, be fine.
I need to
let
go of that.
Well, that's a nice thing about, I think, L.A., is that you could also be 37 and a millionaire and dress like my 6-year-old.
Right, my kids.
And everybody's like,
oh,
look at that guy.
Yeah, yeah. They do. They look like indie cover bands. Yeah. They just cut their hair.
Yeah.
And they look totally like...
They cut their own hair?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
They was that on purpose?
That was a new thing, right?
Yeah.
Was it yesterday?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
It was 2 days ago, yeah. I was like, where's your sisters? sisters, and they were in the closet chopping off each other's hair.
Playing hair salon.
They played hair salon, and they looked totally like a indie rock band, like sister rock band.
Now, I just got to know, though, like...
Asymmetrical.
Asymmetrical.
Choppy.
Like choppy, shorts. It was mullet-y. We had to go fix it all. There was one with a giant... It was a mullet. It was, like, short.
Yeah.
And then really long tail in the back. I was like, oh, no.
See, I would define you...
Billy Ray.
My perception of you, Amanda, and I would say both of you, is that you guys are both grounded... Hollywood moms. Like, you guys work in the industry, right? You are entertainers.
Allegedly, yeah.
that's what your publicist told me to say. Oh
my God.
My
publicist.
Mom is my publicist.
Yeah, you didn't know?
It's my mom.
By the way, everybody has a publicist. Everybody has a, even if it is your mom, it's your publicist here.
Even if it's
you
just me.
You gotta listen to the show. It's why my mom dreams.
Just me on the phone doing an accent.
Yeah, remember when, I don't know if this happened for you guys, but especially when I started doing stand-up, like there were books. People had books where they would suggest that you create a fake email to be your own agent or manager.
Yeah.
And it's so funny to work where, like, here's the thing. It's funny to where there's a time in your life where you're like, that'll work. Number one, you know what I mean? Like, that's all that people really, truly care about is whether or not you have some asshole they've never heard of representing you, right? Or number two, that there's also a time you're like, I wouldn't do that, you know? Like, but I think we all hit a point where I would totally do that, or I have done that, or I am doing that.
Yeah.
I am all of those. But my point is that you guys, to me, seem... This is why I'm such big fans of you, is that you seem more like a regular people who work in the entertainment world. So it's not like image isn't number one to you, right?
No.
So when you come home and you see your kids, because here's the thing. Tell me if I'm wrong on this, Betsy. When I hear you tell the story, Amanda, I go, that's hilarious and funny, and I have a picture in my mind. But if I'm the one who's finding my two kids cutting their hair in a closet, I do not have the, oh, you two. Like,
God.
Like, I would imagine that what would shoot into my brain is probably the first thing is like look for any nicks or anything. And then the second thing would be like, at some point, I'm going to have to take you to a grocery store.
Yeah.
And either...
Yeah.
Either people are going to look at this and go,
that's what
who
I
the
mean.
Fuck does this lady take their kid to get a haircut? Or people are more likely going to be like, she wasn't watching them. And they got scissors and they cut their own hair.
She's neglectful.
But do we know any people who, especially who have kids, that look at kids like that and go, oh my God, how could she do? More than likely, if I'm passing you in a bread aisle, I just want to hug you. But then I'm a random guy who can't even give compliments to mom. Like,
but I'm buying jalapeno poppers.
Yes. I know how your night is going.
Can you imagine if you just walked up to somebody?
You know what? That's going to be my move. When I see a mom at the Ralph's struggling with her kids, or their kids got an asymmetrical haircut, I'm going to swing by the freezer section, grab some jalapeno poppers, and go, here you go. Have a good night.
And then give her a hug.
Not
and walk
even
away.
Pay for them. And put them in her car.
Everybody.
I'm going to fill you up.
I might even make that my first stop. My first stop every time I go to Ralph's, so I have one ready. Yes, I can have a jalapeno popper hair trigger.
Very smart.
And I could just cruise by and go, you need these more than I do right now.
I don't know what it is about that man. Every time he comes to the grocery store, he rings all his groceries, and then he gives me jalapeno poppers and tells me to put them back. Why does he even get them?
Oh, that's Justin.
Yeah, I'm buying jalapeno poppers for all of the struggling moms. But no, so when you saw it, what was your, were we right on that? Was it?
Well, they do it to me all the time. They do this kind of stuff to me. That's why we have a podcast is because my girls are, they're animals. I mean, they're hilarious, crazy, twin, fierce 4-year-olds. And so anytime that there's quiet in my house, something's happening because they always seem to find something. And so it was quiet. I was like, Wes, where are your sisters? And he was like, oh, they're just in my closet cutting their hair.
Fucking jerk.
I was like, are you kidding me? He knew it. He knew it. And he just was like, they're going to get it.
I guess he ain't that perfect then.
Right.
No,
right.
What was he doing? Because I want Wes to also be living the parental life of choosing your battles, where it's like, if they're in the closet cutting their hair, that means he can totally Netflix and chill.
That's what he was doing.
Yeah, Netflix and chill.
So even older brothers dealt a lot of losses, so he just needed a fucking win.
That's exactly what was going on. He's like, go fuck yourself, Sterling. Yeah. You're going to get your asses handed to you. I'm going to sit here and watch my show that I like, and I'm not going to think about you for a moment.
That's
enjoy,
awesome.
Enjoy your buzz cut, yep. Mia Farrow, yeah. 1 and 2. I'll be doing my own thing.
I just walked in. I went, no, no. And then I just stopped, and I turned around, and I walked out.
Yeah.
And then I walked back in, and I was like... I couldn't believe you really did that.
Like you like open the door. It's like you open the door, you see it, and you go, like take a breath, and then you shut the door and walk away.
I did.
That's just like the time I found a big fake snake in my toilet full of pee.
Yeah, no, you just
what?
It's like I can't
close it.
I can't
ruminate on it.
I can't.
I'm kind of jealous of a mom lifestyle all of a sudden.
Don't be.
From the outside, yours seems more quirky and sitcom-esque than mine.
Yeah, you're welcome for that.
Because you have chill kids. Every time I come over, I assume your kids are in the house right now, right?
I don't know where they are.
I saw your wife over here. I'm with you.
Wait,
right
she's
now.
Out
she's
there?
In here. I assume your kids are in the house just hanging out,
they
right?
They are, yeah. Then that's what's happening.
Yeah, she ran away.
God. You
like,
guys
I'm
are
done.
So trustworthy. You have a...
pool?
A pool out here? My kids would have drowned by now.
This is a horrible thing, but just so everybody can make fun of me or report me, is that I check them about every 5 to 10 minutes, but if they want to go swimming in the pool, as long as there are two of them in there, that's fine.
Oh then
I'm totally fine with that. But it's when they...
You are so chill.
But here's the thing. But
that's how it was when I grew up, though.
Right.
That's how it was when we were kids.
Right. And I've been doing a lot of marinating on this because there was a long time ago I talked about it on the Gary and Shannon show this last week where
Gary Shandling show.
This is the Gary and Shannon show. Oh, I should make that for them. It's kind of sad that they passed away. Anyway, I had an author on. She wrote a book called How to Raise an Adult, and her name is Julie Lithcott Hames. And I think it was episode 183. If you want to go back and check it out, if you didn't hear it, but point is that what she was the dean.
Wait a second.
Yeah,
you remember the number?
Only because I recently looked it up.
Okay, okay. Yeah.
You have time to read books?
That's
what gave me pause.
Well, it's what I do when I'm not lifeguarding for my children.
Yeah. Well, we know you don't
go swim. I'm going to go read.
But no, what she kind of talked about, what she says is that she, inspired her to write this book was that she was the dean of freshmen for Stanford University. And for 10 years, she noticed this trend where kids were showing up to college not having like basic life skills just to take care of themselves,
right. Mm-hmm.
Let alone being able to. And at first it was they're very academically gifted, but mm-hmm. couldn't do laundry to save their life
right.
kind of
right.
thing. And then as things kept moving, parents were there, like helping them manage their lives while they're going to Stanford.
Yeah.
I mean, these are supposed to be like kind of upper echelon type kids,
the
right?
The best and brightest.
Right. And then she started noticing that the professors were complaining because if you gave any of these kids an open-ended assignment, they didn't know how to do it. And they would get frustrated and go, just tell me what you want so I can give it to you.
Right.
Like they needed a recipe in order to succeed. And so her big thing was she was giving this...
Because they couldn't self-guide.
She says it's a psychological term called self-efficacy that they don't develop. When somebody guides you through and protects you at every turn, you don't learn how to navigate these things on your own. Mm-hmm. And so she would give this talk to the parents and the students where she would say, trust your kids, trust the school, now go home, was the basic, you know, 3 points of this 20-minute talk she
like
would
what
give.
What happens if your kids get a bad teacher 1 year? They have to learn how to deal with the bad teacher instead of being like, oh, I can't have him in that class because that teacher's bad.
Right. Because realistically, if any one of us look back at our school, like, you probably had 3 good teachers, if anything. I mean, most of them were probably average, who you just got through the year. And then there was another probably larger handful of some that you were, like, really struggled with, or they just, I don't know, they just didn't get it.
But it's true. Like, when we were in Florida, my kids were swimming all over the place, and I wasn't as nervous. And I remember I went to, like, a pool party here before we went away on a vacation, and I was on them, mm-hmm. like, freaking out the whole time. I was like, oh, my God, like, how are they going to do it? Wesley learned how to swim because, well, he started to learn how to swim because he developed the confidence to just start doing it versus like in the beginning, he was really scared to like get off the wall or do anything.
Right.
And so it was like all like through trusting him and letting him see that we trusted him and we weren't like sitting on him the whole time. I mean, we were paying attention to him.
Right.
Like, good luck. See you later. You don't know how to swim. Fun.
I'm going to be Netflixing chewing house. Yeah. Like, what kind of asshole does
but
that?
But I do think that they learn a lot. Like, we have a snack drawer.
By the way, Netflix and chill means fucking. You know that, right?
No, I didn't.
Oh, my God.
No, I really did it. Oh, my God. That's so funny.
I'm like, I don't think that he knows what that
I really,
means.
Here's the thing. No matter what, this breaks the best thing ever that's happened to me on this show. Because if you're right, it's so funny. But if you're not right, it's equally funny. I did not know that.
Yeah,
I
thought Netflix and chill means jalapeno popper time.
Get them out of me.
It does? It really means that.
Yeah, I think when you're young and you have time,
I thought
to
it was like you want to come
Netflix.
Over and watch Netflix.
That's
and,
what
yeah.
I thought.
And then we're gonna chill.
This is
but
how.
But it also means like wank.
This is how means. Great because this is again. There's lots of examples that I keep seeing in this conversation and every conversation I have with you guys where it's like the fun of this life to me is how boring it is and how simple things make you so excited. Like the idea.
Your kids are gonna be like, "Hey, dude, you want a Netflix and chill?"
Absolutely, son. And then I come in with some popcorn. He's sitting there with his girlfriend in the family room. And I'm like, who's the third God. Meal? What's going on? This, I thought we were Netflixing and chilling tonight.
Yeah.
And by that point, he's 19. We'll just be able to put like memes out with our brains. We'll just put like a meme in your head. Yeah. You he'll, do not know what that means.
He'll send me a high definition poop emoji to tell me to leave, maybe. But yeah, I did. I definitely would have thought.
I mean, I've been with the same person for 19 years.
Yeah,
I
me
could
too.
Be wrong.
No.
But I'm pretty sure that's
I feel
funny.
Like you have your. Here's the thing. I feel like
I don't know what Tinder looks like.
I do Tinder from a friend. I have so much fun. We go out and we'll have drinks, and I sit and I do her Tinder for her.
Wow.
It's the most fun.
Does she know it?
She really
well,
trusts
she's
you.
Really.
Does she know you're doing it?
Yeah, she does it with me, but she, like, I'm so much slower. So I'm like, this guy looks really nice. And, like, oh, we should like. And she's like, no.
That's like
no,
when I used
no,
to play
no.
Grand Theft Auto and I would stop at all the stoplights. Uh-huh. Yeah.
When you did that, you see, to get back to both of our points there. How good did that feel when you would stop at a stoplight? Did you?
I'm doing it right.
Yeah.
I'm waiting in line until an NFL player lets me know it's time to get an autograph.
And you never had to worry about any two or three star situations because you'd accidentally clipped a pedestrian.
I never got in trouble.
And what if that game?
I
took
win
you?
Grand Theft Auto. I didn't sleep with any prostitutes, and I certainly didn't bludgeon them.
You play Grand Theft Auto like my son.
No,
I mean the opposite. I mean, I would let him play Grand Theft Auto. He plays Call of Duty, but... I don't even know what we were talking about.
Yes.
Oh, Tinder for your friend.
Oh, and then we'll go back a few steps to that
Netflix
woman,
and chill?
That Stanford lady.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that's
let me wrap that up because it's far less interesting than Tinder. But so what her thing was, she goes home after giving this speech and she was sitting down to have dinner and she starts cutting her 9-year-old steak and she kind of had this, oh shit. Like she goes,
I'm doing it too.
How can we expect 18-year-old kids to just rip off a Band-Aid and go when they're 8, 9, whatever, they can't do it? And to go back to like the swimming thing, I told you we have one of those little like 15-foot diameter circular like Intex pools that I bought online. And I started off with an 8-foot diameter one that was like 3 feet deep, I think it was. And both Jack and Jacob would go in there. And it's like kind of like a super-sized kiddie pool, to give you an idea.
Yeah, it's like
of
halfway
it.
Between a kiddie pool right. and like an above-ground pool.
And they could stand up in it. And what I noticed, the same thing you're talking about, Amanda, is that I noticed that when they first got in it, even though it was like maybe up to their sternum, they were super nervous mm-hmm. around the water.
Yep.
And so I had like floaties and stuff, and I worked with them on how to swim. But I just kind of said, this is a safe environment where you can learn to swim. And really what I learned from it was that it was more about getting them away from the nervousness of water
yes.
and not fearing putting their head underwater.
Yep.
And that eventually made them feel empowered enough to where, I swear to you,
yes,
they taught
yes.
themselves how to swim.
Yes.
Yeah.
They just figured it out.
That's what Wes was going. He like hit that. Like all of a sudden there's like a switch where they're
yes.
like, oh, okay.
And then they're like a fish. They're just going uh-huh. all over. And
uh-huh.
then Jack. So we did that for a couple years. And then the pool was too small for Jacob. So I upgraded to the 4-foot deep one, and Jack was like,
oh my God, you all have J names.
Yeah, that's my wife's idea too. But anyway, so now Jack, so we put a life vest on him last year, and he would tootle around, and then Jacob is now, he's swimming across the pool, he's doing all these things, he loves it. And so this year we put the pool up, and Jack is now tall enough to where he could stand up in it, and he's wearing the life jacket. And so I was in there with him, and I said, Jack, you could touch the ground, right? And he was like, yeah. And I said, well, then what do you need the life jacket for? He goes, so I don't drown. I said, well, son, if you go underwater, just stand up. He goes, huh? And I go, try it. Just try it. I go, I'm right here. It's totally cool. I said, if something goes wrong, I'll grab you. So he takes it off, and he stands on there. I'm not kidding. Maybe 20 seconds, and he looks at me, immediately dives underwater, and just kind of like, he did two or three strokes.
And away.
And we never saw him again.
It was like Narnia. The end of Splash.
Yeah. He only did like three strokes, and he maybe moved 6 inches, but when he came up, the sheer joy in his head, like, he's like, I'm swimming! Like, you know
yes.
what I mean? And so it's this, and so that's, to me, a part of it. And I get up and I check him, and listen, I'm not going to sit up here on a soapbox and go, I'm not half pissing myself most of the time yeah. I'm in there. But there is a method to the madness where I go out there, I let them do their own thing. Sometimes I get out and they're not even in the pool anymore. They're only in there 20 minutes and then they're throwing water balloons at each other or just screwing around in the backyard.
But that's good. That's
fun. I think it's nice for them to be able to hang out. I wish that we still lived in a world where they could go ride their bikes around the neighborhood too. Mm-hmm. Like that was a thing that was always so much fun for me mm-hmm. and I enjoyed. But
we used to play war. Did you guys play war?
What's war?
Florida.
We would go to the construction sites or like or old wood, like the woods, and we would have these big forts and we would build these giant forts and out of like the mud and then everybody would be on different teams and we would pretend to be at war.
That's fight. Badass.
It was real fun.
And it was Florida, so they all had real guns.
Yeah.
You put rock salt in a shotgun. You didn't want to hurt anybody.
But all the neighborhood kids would be there. I just remember, like, I think my brother was, like, 4. And we all got in this giant mud fight. And my mom couldn't find us. She was driving around the entire neighborhood trying to find my brother and I. And we were all at our fort, our secret fort. And so she finally found us. And she lined all the kids up in the neighborhood. And we were all covered head to toe in mud. And she was like, you all need to go home. I'm just never. But when my brother and I talk about it, we like always are amazed. We're like, wow, like she just let us like run the neighborhood at
4.
He was 4 running really the neighborhood. That's like my daughter's age. Like I would never be like, yeah, go. But I do think
this is a very, and I'm not saying there's anything necessarily wrong with it. I'm not saying we got to completely turn the ship around because there is obviously a lot of benefits, but I think you got to try to assess it and find a middle ground. But this, I think, is a very American thing. I mean, if you think about it in countries that are much, 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 much worse off, there are kids dealing with far greater issues. And I'm not saying that those are good for them, but I'm saying I think that it's weird to think that our kids can't process
a
lot. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And
I think it's, in
so many ways.
Look at anybody you know who has teenagers. Like, one of the things that blows my mind around here in LA is that there are so many 16-year-olds that don't even have a desire to get a driver's license. I was counting the days until I could get a driver's license when I was a kid.
Oh, yeah.
And now it seems like you could be...
I got my driver's license, like, on my birthday.
Yeah. I bought a car when I was 15 and a half because I wanted to have it ready.
Yeah.
Like, I was locked and loaded.
Here we go.
I would sit in it like, oh, boy, man. I'm going to drive the shit out of you. Yeah. We're going to score so many jalapeno poppers in the room.
Putting jalapeno poppers up that tailpipe.
Boom, girl.
My first car, my parents bought it.
Never went up the tailpipe.
That deserved a high five.
I don't regret it. I don't regret it. I'm just more of an engine block guy, I guess. I don't know.
No. Okay, guys.
Hey, we want some more morning soup? Oh, no, I didn't play.
Oh, no. That would have been the best place for that.
Right here.
I will not discuss butt sex.
There you go.
Yay.
My old co-host, Bill Klass.
I will not discuss butt sex.
Yeah, I pitched that one time, and it didn't go well. Anyway, I don't know.
Oh, I thought Amanda had something.
Say,
you know,
Amanda.
I'll say, I think a lot of it too comes from other parents. Like, if I go to the playground, my goal is always to let them run.
Mm-hmm.
My goal is to get in the way as little as possible.
Yeah.
Not just because I'm lazy and I need a rest, but because I want them to wild out and just get their crazies out and have free play and not have me be a part of any of that.
Right.
Because I don't think that's good for them.
No.
But I get a lot of looks and guilt and attitude from other parents. Same thing. If you leave your kid in the car to run into a store, you're going to get arrested. If you let your kid go to the park or drive drive around the neighborhood alone, you're going to get arrested. So other people are constantly telling you, no, you're wrong. That's fucked up. I mean, every time they make a playground, they make it safer and safer and safer. I have a friend who's involved in this whole sort of like movement in child play. Shanez Yargisi in Yargisi in Minneapolis. And it's all about that sort of like, their goal is to make these crazy playgrounds that are like child. It's like all the kids in Peter Pan, like hang out, like, it's like the Lost Boys playground where it's just like wood and you can build a fucking fire
and run
and it's not all this like safe playground. It's not adults being like, here's how you play properly and do it nice. It's like total chaos. And then you let them figure shit out.
Yeah. Cause they will. They'll play war in the construction site.
Yeah, exactly.
And get muddied up and yelled at by a stranger. That's a childhood. I mean, in a lot of ways,
we used to hide in bushes in front of people's houses.
That's funny.
My brother once, when my younger siblings were playing, a train came by and he got on the train.
No.
Yes.
No.
I don't say that's right, and I'm not sure I think my mom probably should have been watching them.
Yeah.
And he's an idiot, but he did get on a train and...
How far did he go? Did you know? Like maybe 20 feet and then jumped off? Or?
No, I don't know. Maybe half a mile? I don't know.
Oh, wow.
He went far.
That's badass, though. I wanted him to befriend a vagabond.
He's the kind of guy who owns a couple motorcycles and doesn't have a driver's license. He's the kind of guy who gets a dog and doesn't have a job.
Oh.
So, I don't know. I mean, he's crazy.
Oh, you know what? I'm going to start watching my kids in the pool. That's what I just learned. Turns out everything I just said, completely wrong.
Yep.
Complete. Backpedal it all, guys. In fact, I might even just erase this whole segment.
Yeah, I don't even know what my point was. Yeah.
My brother was crazy, too.
It must have been thrilling for him to get on a moving train.
I did it.
You did it?
Well, yeah. Because that's why I was curious, is that when I got on it, I remember running, and I remember grabbing onto it and going, wow, this is fun, and they go... And I don't know why, because I lived in Modesto, which is in the Central Valley of California. There are no, like, waterways. But I was like, oh, God, what if I come, like, any minute there's a bridge and I'm going to be stuck on this train? Or what if I fall off a bridge into a 200-foot canyon?
Yeah.
I'm like, no.
You're imagining that you're in Oregon all of a sudden? Yeah.
Wile E. Coyote.
That was kind of how I was wired as a kid. But I remember just hanging on to it for a little bit and then going, oh, gosh, how do I get off? And I go, I got to get off, otherwise I'll never come home. And I just jumped, and then it was fine.
And you learned to do that.
Right. Who has all the answers? I've decided that my little testers are going to be things like, I'm going to let them swim in the pool and I'll watch them but let them figure out some stuff on their own and be invested. Like that's going to be my approach. And I'm going to try as much as I can to absolve myself of the guilt.
Yeah.
And I'm going to really try and make that, what'd you call it? Dad Pope? Pope of parenting?
Pope of parenting.
Parenting, yeah. Has said I'm absolved of all my sins. Let's take another break and come back and do Moment of the Week.
You made them. You love them. And sometimes you want to choke the living shit out of them. But occasionally they give you that one sweet moment. This is that moment. Moment of the Week, brought to you by Dad Gear. All your child traveling needs packed into stylish, practical perfection. Designed by real dads for real dads and moms. Don't be the guy with a diaper purse. Be the man with the Dad Gear diaper backpack. Go to thedadpodcast.com and click on the Dad Gear logo on the right-hand side. It's made in the USA.
I will not discuss butt sex.
All right, you ladies would like to go first to share, or would you like me to go first? It's up to you.
What's happening?
So we're doing a moment of the week. I'm sorry, I thought you knew. So we share a good moment. We talk a lot about, even this episode, about how there are very few wins, but there are those moments like, for example, Amanda having this guy who says, you got good kids, right?
Mm-hmm.
Would be a moment where like it makes it all worthwhile. Like those positive moments that have to carry you in between the large chasm between that one and the next one. That's the moment. I'll go first and share you. That way I give you guys time to think too. Is that for me, mine was, I actually wasn't involved in it. I had to work all day yesterday. And my wife, because of the whole Alec Ogletree autograph situation, she had been looking to try and find. She goes, well, when can we take them back to try and get Alcoa Tree's autograph?
I was thinking the same thing. That's funny.
And so I said, well, the practice is on Friday. I go, but I can't because I'm working all day Friday and everything. Well, she got done with work early. So she, while I was at work, she said, we decided we're going to go to the practice. So I said, and I told her, I said, but even if he goes to the practice, unless he gets an autograph token, no way it's going to happen. Well, every kid gets to spin a prize wheel and you could win a token. So sure enough, Jack spins the prize wheel. He gets a token.
Oh, good.
And so that means he's going to get an autograph from all of the linebackers and the kicker and punter as well for the team. And so she got, and then she, so they go to line up. And she's texting me while this is happening, like live tweeting it. She's like, I guess he's not coming today. And she's like, oh, man, you know. And it's what it is because he's kind of a big deal in the he's like the captain of the defense. And so it's just that he was probably talking to coaches or hanging out. And then he comes over just as they're about to start, sits at the end of the table, and he's got his little kid with him in his lap. And signs. Well, my son, my older son, had gotten his autograph. So he just waited in line, got everybody else's autograph, and went up to him and shook his hand and said, I already got your autograph, but thank you. And so the guy just goes, oh, like, and he got a little tickle out of it. And he goes, and he says to one of the players, he already got my signature, is what he, oh, he called it a signature. That was the other thing. So Jack got his signature. He was elated. And so it was a nice little thing that, even though I like the idea of the struggle, I like that he had the negative thing, but I also like that my wife got the win and she was able to take him. And I thought it was cute and adorable, which is probably borderline sexist, that I was like, my wife, the mom, took him to the football thing because now she likes it too. So that was my little familial moment of the week.
For me, so last time we spoke, I was talking to you about how getting my kids into a school for next year has been like a real struggle, like in a good way. We have my 5-year-old, we have accepted and rejected 4 different schools. So anyway, I
this is elementary and middle, right? Am I right?
This is for kindergarten.
Kindergarten, yeah, okay. No, listen, don't feel bad. This is the life we live.
Oh,
and especially
God.
For anybody who's looking down their nose at Betsy, if you knew the kind of school situations that LAUSD has, it is no bueno. It is not okay. So you have to find these charter schools or magnets or anything.
So I wanted to do so there's this magnet system and you have to accrue points. And if you sign up, if you ask to be in a particular magnet school and they say, no, we can't accommodate you, you get points and you can add up all those points and eventually cash them in for like whatever school you really want your kids to go to. So I had just, I looked up all the magnet schools. And I looked at what is the one school that's the hardest to get into. I'm going to just apply him for that so that we can accrue these points. But somehow they called us up and my 5-year-old got in for kindergarten. And we're like, oh, fuck. Because we had already said yes to 3 schools. And, we had said yes and then no to 3 schools. And we had finally said yes to this one school. And our kids were going to go to the same school. And it was going to be so easy. And we were so excited. And it's a good school. But then we're like, fuck this. All right, we'll go look at it just to see. I mean, it's like an hour. No, it's like 38 minutes from our house. So we go and check it out, and it's fucking awesome. The school is awesome. It's like a private school. It's great. So now my kids are going to schools like an hour apart. But because they're magnets, they take the bus, and it actually is fine. And it's
awesome.
Saved me. I would have spent 10 hours in the car every week driving them to this one school. Mm-hmm. Now they're going to 2 separate schools. They're going to take the bus. It saves me 10 hours of driving every week that I get to do whatever I want with. And just because I applied him on this whim, just because I was fucking around, now my son gets to go to like one of the best schools in the school district.
That's awesome.
Right? So my type A perfectionism was a win.
Yeah.
This week.
Well done,
thank
Betsy.
You.
Well done.
Thank you.
Very nice.
I really bumbled into that one, but hey, it all worked out.
I'm really struggling to find. Yeah.
Well, to be fair to you, I think you also shared the story about the older guy at the doctor's visit. That I think that is a thing that people. I think it's hard for your antenna to be up to notice that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Like you are. There is a lot of survivor type mentality in the parenting world. So somebody can say, "Hey, your kids are really good," or yeah. whatever, and you don't even notice. You're like, "Uh huh, yeah, on to
yep,
the next."
Yep. Thanks. Yeah. Well, so that was nice.
We just saw a picture that your husband sent of your kids cleaning your
toilet.
They're
currently cleaning the toilet. That's kind of a
pretty
big
amazing
moment of the week.
I mean, the only time my kids touch the toilet brush is to, like, fuck around and put it in their mouth or some shit.
Well, I know. I'm a little like, there's so many other things they could be cleaning. Why are you making them clean the toilet? But then I'm the micromanaging. I'm like, that's nasty, and
good
you have to
you.
Use, like, Clorox. But
you know,
I'm gonna let you do your parenting.
Good for you.
And I'm going to.
I like not. That. I like that because that's how I'm wired, too, that I would be like, well, that, I know you think that that's cute and fun, but... You know,
yeah, it's nasty.
Is everything picked up off the floor in their rooms?
Yeah, like right. No, it's probably disaster pit.
Or you know, it'd be great.
How about sweeping the floor.
Laundry. Laundry's yeah, easy because you can Netflix and chill while. I'm sorry, just watch Netflix. While you fold laundry, I've now learned you do not chill. all right. Well, that was our show. Thank you guys so much. I make these way too long with you guys, and I apologize. Next time I will fix this, but it's always a joy to talk to you.
How dare you? Can you fix that?
Well, no. I feel like I've eaten up so much of your time and your day, but here's the point.
Whatever. It's fun.
Point
my
is,
kids are cleaning a toilet. I'm happier.
Keep telling yourself that.
Being here. With my kids.
Yeah. So check out Why Mommy Drinks. It's a fantastic podcast, and especially for moms and dads who listen to the show. If you enjoyed this particular episode, if I'm not mistaken in my memory, is that you could check out episode 19, which is with yours truly.
You're awesome.
On the show. But they have, tell me some of your other awesome guests that you have that are far better than me.
Each episode, we each share a story of a time children or parenting has like driven us to drink. Either like literally or figuratively, and then we usually have a guest and they share a story. So we've had Casey Wilson on from you would know her from Happy Endings and
Jamie Denbo,
Brian Husky,
The women from the New Glow series.
That's right.
Wow, that's a great show.
Yeah, Rebecca Johnson and Kimmy Gatewood.
They play
from
the old
Glow.
Ladies on it. the old ladies. They play the old
that
biddies.
The show is awesome. Glow is awesome.
And this is what I personally love about the show is, like I said about you guys, is that you take these people that you have seen in television, film, or whatever, and then you get to hear them not living a Hollywood life.
Right. Yeah.
Nobody ever really comes on. Nobody comes on and talks about, like, their work or name drops.
No.
Everybody just, there's, like, some sort of, like, common
equalizer.
This is hard.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really fascinating to listen to different artists and writers and comedians and singers and stuff. We haven't had a singer yet. We need to get a singer.
Mommy Tonk.
Then we did. Yeah.
Singer,
so singers,
comedians.
Come on and just kind of be like, yeah, it's
hard. A shit show.
It's
like
really
all
hard.
Of us. Yeah. Like all of us.
We
yeah.
all feel it. And so it kind of humanizes everybody.
Yeah. It's good to remember that even if you're Gwen Stefani or Madonna, it's a shit show. No matter who
Gwen
you are.
Gwen Stefani and Madonna, we would love to have
Please
you on.
Please contact our,
I'll give you their info.
Our PR person.
They were on episode.
This is Gwen Stefani. Yo, this shit is bananas.
This is our PR person, Gwen
I
Stefani.
I spell fruit. A-P-P-E-L-E-S.
All right.
Gwen, I want to talk to you about your sequel song.
First of all, is this shirt short enough? Because I feel like you're just almost to my underboob, and I feel like that would be tasteless.
This stuff is apples. A-P-P-L-E-S.
Oh, it's crazy.
Solid impression, both of you. All right. Check out all of the social media handles in the description of this show. Definitely go check out Why Mommy Drinks. You can get it on iTunes or wherever you want to get podcasts. All of that stuff. Ladies, thank you again very much for being on the show. On behalf of Amanda and Betsy, this is Justin saying hug your kids, hump your loved one, and stay frosty, my friends.